I'm glad to have you. If you turn to Matthew, I want you to think for a moment what it must have been like to be the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was mindful to put her away privately." Think of the pressure that must have been on Mary. Here's a godly woman who now appears like she's had sex out of wedlock. You know, the husband's concerned because he doesn't want her to be embarrassed. Yet that is exactly what God said was going to happen in the prophecy. Verse 23, it goes like this. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." See, there was a virgin that was going to have a child. Now that's pretty odd, knowing science. Maybe in light of all science, it's really remarkable. Her virgin has never had a sexual relationship, is now found with child. Try to explain that to your mom. "I've never had sex." What do you think her mother must have thought? Her father. That's odd to think of that, isn't it? And most people just say, oh, it's a virgin. They get in their mind the manger scene, and they have this little picture of the little Jesus, because we see it every, what, Christmas, you know. And the case is there are personalities behind all this. There's things happening, and obviously Joseph wants her not to be embarrassed, because it would be an embarrassment. I mean, you're carrying the Savior of the world, and you have no explanation for it, other than an angel comes and talks to him. We come back. Verse 20. "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him," talking to Joseph, "in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Think about that for a minute. Dream comes along, you hear the angel of the Lord. What are you thinking? What is your human thoughts thinking? If you had you're getting ready to get married. My daughter just got married yesterday. Can you imagine? "You can't touch me. I'm with child." Huh? "I thought you were a virgin." "Yeah, I am a virgin." Okay, let me get this straight. You're a virgin, but you're with child. She had to bear unbelievable burden in doing this for the Lord. Being a mother is unique. It's special. She was picked because of what she was, a righteous woman. She was knew that she would give him the wisdom and the spiritual understanding. Mothers have always influenced their kids. Who influenced on Moses? What happened? You all know the story, right? Mom sails her down the seas hoping that Pharaoh is going to pick her up. Does. She ends up nursing that child for 3 years. During that time, what does Moses' mom do? Teaches that child. Mothers are one of the greatest teachers of the planet. They're patient. You see, mothers have a unique ability to be patient with kids when fathers can be rough and firm. And God designed it that way. Because mothers represent the nurturing, while the man represents God the Father, the Judger, the Righteous One. Mothers have a very difficult time with child. Single mothers have it rough because they're not very good disciplinarians. But they're great nurturers. See, I believe when God designed it, God designed for a man and woman to come together and have children. The Bible calls it in the word, they knew them or knew each other. They came to know them. It's talking about more than just sexual relationship, although that would be included. It's an all-inclusive. And that God didn't make Adam and Steve. God made Adam and Eve. And the reason I say that is because it takes both sides of, you realize that humans are, I always tease people when they're in the grocery store, oh, how cute, another carbon-based life form. And they look at me like, well, that's what the evolutionists are preaching, amen? I don't believe that. I believe that there is a uniqueness. See, I believe that a man has something unique than any other creature on this planet. I do not believe that men and women are animals. You might disagree with me. That's okay. I don't care. I don't believe that they're animals. I don't believe we evolved. I think God told Adam and Eve to multiply, and they did. And then he destroyed it and told Noah and his to multiply again, and they did. And the result is a man and a woman coming together in a relationship called marriage. And marriage is one of the most intimate relationships in the fact that it represents God's relationship with us. It's a closeness and an intimacy that is unique to anything. Now, just because two people come together doesn't mean they're married. And I know that because of Matthew. There was a woman caught in adultery. And she was brought out. And he said, if I were your husband, well, the one you're with isn't your husband. So there is something different than just having sex with someone that makes a marriage and a spouse become one. I believe that you can take a sperm and an egg and mix it and have a baby. I believe you can do that in a test tube. It's been done. But there's something different than just making a baby when you talk about being a mother. Today, mothers are under an enormous amount of... We're seeing things that I would never dream a mother do, stabbing her children to death. That's just abnormal. To say, well, where do you think we are? I think we're toward the end times. They will lose natural affection. Who is he talking about? Mothers? Yes. Why? Mothers are the nurturers. Mothers are the ones that comfort. The mother is the one that loves. And now that's being lost. You know, folks, listen, let me tell you, our society's in a mess. Amen? Mothers don't get a rating. Somehow, mothers have to work outside the home to be successful. I think there's nothing greater than a stay-at-home mom. That's successful, too. There's a great thing about moms that stay with their kids. It's hard. It's all a balancing act nowadays, isn't it? Economics versus what you want. And you know, the thing that's missing out of most moms' lives in America in general is the Word of God. Just completely left out of their mothering. You know, I tell you, we're not animals. We're tri-union beings. We're the only beings that have the capacity, according to Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, that we were made in the image of God. How are we made in the image of God? I look at Stan, he's much more handsome than me, and then Terry, he's much more handsome than Stan, and Pat's much more than, you know, on and on. I'm playing with them. You understand, we all look different. William's blue and I'm green. We're different. So how is it that we're all made in the image of God? Folks, we have a flesh, a soul, and a spirit. A dog has a flesh and a spirit. It has no soul. When God made man, he made man a living soul. Then he allowed man and woman to come together as one in marriage and produce offsprings in which the mother is a very influential thing. In fact, the mother is closest to that child. The reason that women have breasts is not to be augmented. They are to feed those children and nurture them. Why would God do that? Because he wants that child close to that mom. Why? That mother will protect that child and nurture. You understand? That mother is designed by God to be a unique creature among male and female. I mean, that female that has become a mother is a very protective person. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And it's designed that way. And so now we got Mother Mary. She's pregnant without ever having known a man. She has got to be in a little bit confused, amen, other than what we've got in the story. So here she is, and it's gotten so bad. Go to Luke, in Luke chapter 1, and he said, verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, and that's 6 months after Elizabeth was pregnant with John, Gabriel was sent unto God, unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. What an honor that must be. So here's the first thing. Honored of God, hailed among women. Now, you're going to be carrying a child and you never have been pregnant before. Never even had... Boy, all of a sudden that jaw must have dropped a little bit, don't you think? What would you have thought if it had been you, women? That angel of the Lord appears on you and says, you're going to have a child without this. And you know what everybody is going to be thinking. I'm telling you that Mary put a great burden to get Jesus here. But how great it must have been to be highly favored of the Lord and be blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Well, of course, wouldn't you be a little bit troubled? And cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Well, man, that's a good thing. But what am I favored for? What have I been nominated for? You're the virgin that's going to carry Jesus. What? That had to be weird, amen? But this woman was unique in the fact that she was the chosen one of God to father our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. She was going to be the one that would breastfeed him through his childhood, teach him and train him. And you know, God so distinctively all the way through recognized that Joseph was not the father of Jesus. Hold on to here for just a minute. We're going to turn back. Go to Luke chapter 2. Look, people say, well, I'm not too hip on this King James thing. Let me show you the difference. If you got a different Bible, just read along with me and look at the difference and tell me if you can tell me the difference. In Luke chapter 2, verse 33, it says this. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. If it said his father and his mother marveled, well, Joseph is not the father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the father of the Lord Jesus Christ?
God.
God is. So where it says Joseph and his mother distinguishing the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's very important. If your Bible says the child's father and his mother, you got a problem. Why? Because Jesus' father was not Joseph. In fact, he was told of the angel of the Lord not to go on to her because she was with child by the Holy Ghost. Now, he wanted to go on to her and not show her as a public example, but that wasn't to be. God had different plans. And so all the way through, the father of Jesus is God, but the one he left him with was Mary. That song you were talking about having left worked out great with the sermon because, you know, you've got to realize he left heaven's realm in the reigning chair to be born of a virgin. This is the woman that God has chosen to be his birth mom on earth. Man, that's got to be an honor. Amen. On one side, you look at it and you see honor. On the other side, what do you see? Shame. All of a sudden, now she's pregnant without an excuse. And the husband recognizes, I'm telling you that God's choice of a woman was perfect in Mary. God picked the right woman. Go back to Luke chapter 1. He says this, and behold, verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And that's a quote out of Isaiah 16. Okay? Now, all I'm telling you is that she is now part of the fulfillment of prophecy, and God has picked her. I was amazed that God didn't ask. God said, would you like to do this? He didn't. He knew the woman he exactly wanted to be in charge of his own human conception. That's pretty strange, isn't it? Said, you will conceive. You are part of the prophecy that Isaiah talks about. You are part of the whole realm of a Savior coming to this earth. You're part of the realm of a mystery you don't even know about. It's amazing when you think about it. Verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. That's also a quote out of Isaiah, actually. Look at what was told. Go to Isaiah 9, look at verse 6. Can you imagine? I think that God knew exactly what he was doing. I believe Mother Mary was the exact person. I believe the timing was exactly right. It was all perfect. It was as if God had planned the thing from the beginning. Isn't that neat? I do believe he did. Before the foundation of the world, he knew it all was going to happen down to the exact time of the birth. I did a message. A lot of people don't understand that he was probably born September 29th to October 1st or 2nd, somewhere in there. And I did a detailed study. It took me about 3 weeks to do it. We may do it again here soon. But it's a detailed study based upon the priest positioning and their sessions that they did. And it is clear to me that all that we do in the birth of Jesus, most of around Christmas time, is pretty much a mockery of what really happened, unfortunately. But in Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says this, for unto us a child is born unto Mary. Unto us a son is given, as in given at the cross. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. And by the way, anybody that runs in Jehovah's Witnesses that don't believe that Jesus is God, you ought to take them to this verse. The Mighty God, the Everlasting what? The Everlasting who? The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. There's no doubt that the God of Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 is the God of Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That God is the Lord Jesus Christ. That God was going to be born of a virgin. Picked the woman because of her favor, the thing of her walk. Listen, let me tell you what, godly women are lacking in the world today. Amen? I thank God we have a few here this morning. Godly women are in high need. Most women today are into high fashion. What we need are women that are favored of God. What? You can have both? Oh, that's good. Who was going to be born? The wonderful counselor of the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of His government, and peace there shall be what? The person is going to be born of Mary's womb is a man that is going to be the man of all men, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. He is going to be the wonderful, the counselor, the mighty God. He's going to be the everlasting Father. He's going to be the Prince of Peace. He is going to be the creator of heaven and earth, born of a virgin, and Mary's the choice of God. How honored would that have been? You think he could pick Madonna? Probably not, yet she's idolized in the society. What kind of woman would God pick today if he had to pick a virgin? Well, I would say, number one, it'd be very hard to find a virgin nowadays. Oh, it doesn't matter. You see, I mean, sex is okay nowadays. It's okay because everybody's doing it. It would be hard to find the mother of Jesus today, a woman that is highly favored with God. Who would he pick? Would he pick your child? Would your child be the one that he would pick that would honor being the virgin and the high ideals and the favors of God, one that would take him from the womb and teach him to study? Wow. I'm glad God chose when he did. Amen?
Amen.
Madonna talking about touch like a virgin makes you want to throw up, doesn't it? Where are the high moral grounds today? Where is the thing that people should stand up for today as women? Women should be looking out for other women in the sense of purity. And you know who's called upon to do that? Aged women. I honor the women of today that are standing up for the Word of God. But I am sorrowful for the ones that will not. Because if they are saved, they will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of their mothership. Are you reading The Little Train That Could? Are you reading Proverbs chapter 1? Are you learning a Bible verse a day? Are you learning a new verse to the new single on the radio? I bet you if we played a game with the young people, we don't have a lot here this morning, but if we'd have had our normal crowd, I think it would be amazed. I could get them to quote song verses. I mean, this guy can quote song verses like I've never seen anybody. He comes up with lyrics I didn't even know that was in the song. You sure that was in that song? Yes, it was. I said, those are weird lyrics. Yeah, no kidding. Ask him to quote a Bible verse. No, he does a good job. I'm teasing him. But, you know, I mean, we memorize that. Folks, listen, mothers are unique. Why did he choose Mary? Because Mary had the audacity to stand for that which was right and was favored of God and became the mother of our Savior. And God chose that mother for her purity and her right. Go back for a minute. Go to Titus. I believe our society has really gotten a mess. You know what one of the most favorite shows on TV today is? Desperate Housewives. I found out Laura Bush is a desperate housewife. Scared me to death. Found out the president went to sleep at 9 o'clock and her and Cheney went out and had fun. Oh, those were cute jokes. But how far did our society come? I wonder what my grandmother would think today, or her mother. Just a few generations back, what would they have thought of the society today, the way women dress provocatively? It would be weird, wouldn't it? You take back two or three generations and just have the women of old come up and see, I bet you they would have heart attacks. And yet today it's okay. I want you to go to Titus. And see, I believe that mothers are the instructors in a way that no one else can be. Look, if you will, in Titus chapter 2. The aged women, likewise, that they be as in behavior as becometh holiness. What is that? What does that mean? Behavior that has become holiness? Holiness is set apart for the use of God. Holiness is something that's unique. It's a vessel set apart for Almighty God, just like Mother Mary was a holy vessel who housed the embodiment of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a holy woman. Your behavior should be as becometh holiness. If we use Mother Mary as a standard of mothers, how would we hold up? See, we're on a sliding scale now, you know. What was holy back here is different than what's holy there. Just like sin. What was sin back in the day, sin is not as bad. Why, sin used to be, if you don't keep the Sabbath day and keep it holy, you have what? And that is a 24-hour period. People say, oh, I keep the law. I doubt I know anybody that has kept the law. But nevertheless, just doing that one is unique. But now, is he just missed church for 2 hours? You see how it works? It's a sliding scale. Holiness is a sliding scale today. Mothers, you have an incredible job. In the last 15 minutes of the sermon, I want to charge you with living your life as an example for Hannah and the other young people in Lauren, because they need you as an example of godliness. Women need age women to be the part that God has called them to be. How badly we need this in our lives. You know, when things aren't right, you shouldn't just accept them as being all that you can get. The Bible tells us to press toward the mark of the high calling of God. Amen? Seems like people are tired of pressing. Women, you've got an enormous responsibility. What God has burdened with women is an amazing thing. There's more said about an aged woman here than even the man. He says that aged women likewise, that they become, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accuser, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Boy, let me tell you, in Titus chapter 2, that teachers of good things is exactly why Mary was chosen. She was going to be a teacher of what? May we all be like Mary. Teachers of good things. Your vessel is a vessel of honor. You can't do as women nowadays do, don't anybody get mad at me, as they damn well please. The Bible says you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your soul and your mind, which are His. Give it up. You aren't your own. You've been bought. Purchased, paid for. You've got an opportunity. Women today are not living godly lives. They're murdering their children. Don't you see a problem with that? There's ill affection. There's kids having orgies at 13. Mom and dad's letting them have sex in their house. Hello? God didn't say, hey, listen, you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Yeah, but everybody's doing it. Ecstasy parties in high school. Weird, isn't it? And you know what? I was lost in high school too. Say, well, you did it. You were a party animal. Yes, I was. And the moment I got saved, I regretted my life, the kind of life I lived. I was ashamed of who I was. Amen. Greatest thing my father did is he threw me out. So you can't live here. You know what? Now any kid could live there. Dad's changed his mind. He's got more liberal. Amen. Hey, listen. What happened with? Hey, you can't do that in my house. I respected that. Mom going, God, don't throw him out of the house. Thank God for Dove. Everything I own was on the front porch with a $100 bill that says you can't live here anymore. I knocked on the door and said, I want my guitar. I'm going to go to Nashville and hit it big. I'm such a good singer. Yep. Don't let anyone steal your dreams. But it used to be the parents said, no, you can't do that. You can't do that. That's not acceptable. Now, if the neighbors accept it, it must be what? Even though it's still not acceptable to God's Word. I did about the hardest thing I've ever done yesterday. I stood up for what I thought was right. Extremely painful. Wouldn't recommend it for anybody. But bless God, I'm going to stand up for what's right every ounce of my life that I can. For most of my life, I've been nothing but a jerk. Nothing but a self-centered, self-serving. I want my life to count for something. I had people call me yesterday. Well, did you go? No. I have total respect for you standing up for what you believe. No convictions nowadays. What happened to Papa Doc would never happen today. Nobody's got the moral gumption to do it anymore. Stand up, that's not acceptable. Well, everything's acceptable. Amen? Premarital sex running rampant. You know what? You mothers are the force that teaches your children the things that they need to do in their moral line. Mothers are one of the most important things that God ever made. You are unique. It doesn't take anything to take an egg and a sperm and put them together and have a baby. But it takes God to make a mother. It doesn't take anything for a child. I mean, children can have children at children's age. 13. People get pregnant all the time. I mean, we live in a society that a child can go have a major surgery called an abortion and without the consent of the parents. Don't you think that's a little odd? I think that's odd. Who is society that they should tell us that our children are safe to have a major operation in which people die from? One in every 200 abortion, they bleed to death. I wouldn't want my daughter. I would say no. And I hope your mothers would too. They've got so many things to do. These are teachers of good things. Verse 4. that they may teach the younger women to be what? You know how many young women are sober? When I graduated from high school, I can tell you, and I graduated in 77. I'm 46 years old, and I'm practicing because my birthday's coming up in 7 months. When I graduated, I didn't know a single virgin. I didn't know a single person who hadn't been drunk, a single person that didn't even smoke or smoke pot at all. Now, I'm not saying that they weren't there. I said I didn't know any of them. That's amazing. My graduating class was 694, and I'd partied with most of them. We were just wild animals. We weren't trying to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there was somebody who was trying to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, they were hidden, or so few that you couldn't find them. Here's some weird odds. Do you realize that 86% of the high school graduates have had sex? Isn't that amazing? 86%. Does that seem a little odd? That seems a little odd to me. Godly mothers are to teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not what? God picked Mary because she wouldn't blaspheme the word of God. That she would uphold the word in such a way that Jesus' synonym is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word
was God.
One. It's usually best to cut those things off. They may blow up. You can't tell nowadays. Anyway, the coming to... Listen, it doesn't take anything to produce a child, but it takes God to produce a mother. And a godly mother is the most unique thing, and that's why we wanted to honor the mothers that came this morning. Because we felt like that they had put the right place with the right thinking on for the Lord. You know, I tell you, it's hard to find godly women nowadays. But the Bible says in Proverbs 31 that the price of that woman is far above all rubies. You see, I believe that my wife is a virtuous woman. I believe that she has been the mother that would stand on truth at any point of her life. She is doubly honored today for me. She impresses me not only with her love and compassion, but her steadfastness toward the Word of God. There's a couple things I wanted you to note in the last part of this. Is the prodigal son. I was it. The father and mother did not chase down that prodigal son. They let the prodigal son get to the point where it was sick of its life being the way it was. Eating with the swine. But as soon as that child came back, the parents did what? Embraced them. And the father killed the fatted calf. You see, that's a lot like we are at times in our walk with the Lord. Not only in our physical life, because in the physical life I was the prodigal son. But they didn't chase after the kids. Nowadays, we're afraid to lose our kids. We're afraid to do what's right. Well, mothers still have to do what's right and godly before the Lord, before they worry about their relationship. Listen, let me tell you what. You can't be a mother by compromising every day. You've got to be a mother that will stand on the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God and let your children see how important that is. Be the rock. Don't be the sand. Don't shift with the side societies. If society says it's okay to do this, I mean... The amount, I am totally flipped out by the amount of plastic surgery that is being done between 15 and 18. You don't even know how things are coming out yet. You know, why don't you wait? Because the society's pressure is so unveiled on how we look and what we see that it's amazing. Well, here's the thought. Why don't you be the person that God's called you to be in upholding the Word of God and lifting it up? Mothers, you are the example. It's not just Lisa being the example for Hannah and Seth. Mary, you're an example to them. Gloria, you're an example to them. They're looking at you. They're watching you. And only you can be the person you can be before the Lord. Don't push it off. We live in a society that the whole world's messed up. But don't you be messed up. Here's a saying I have. Listen, let other people be average, but not you. You think about it. A tree can't stop in the middle of growing and say, I'm done. I'm not going to do any more. A tree just keeps reaching and reaching and reaching until it can't reach anymore. But the human potential can say, I'm not going to read the Word of God. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to do the godly things. And only reach part of the potential of the human spirit. See, God had something more planned. Why do you think He picked Mary? Because she would uplift the Lord Jesus Christ with the right words and the correctness that He needed to develop his youth up to the man that he needed to be to go to that cross. It's amazing. It's an amazing mother story. To be chosen of God, highly favored, highest among women. Would you be that? Who would that be today? Who would we uplift today to that statue? And my thought would be, I hope it would be you. My thought is, I hope it be you, that you would uphold to such a standard that people would say, man, that woman is walking with the Lord. Wouldn't that be a great thing? I thought about all you have at the end of your life is an epitaph. Put on your grave. What would be done? Wouldn't that be great of a bride to say she didn't just walk with her husband, she walked with the Lord? Or her life was a reflection of the one that bought him. Man, think about what you'd like to be said. Don't let all that you are be different from who you are in this right here. I'm done. Happy Mother's Day. I want you mothers to walk out of here with a charge to realize who you are in Christ and how important you are to the church.